Done, Kyle. You got a real gift there. Let's pray. We thank you for your presence here today. Pray for every person here today. Fill them with your love and your peace, your guidance and your hope. We thank you for this word that you have prepared. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray, and minister to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. What do we need for life's journey? Watching the television this week, there was one politician who was in question time, and he said that he wanted to understand what was happening in the world, but for the first 15 minutes of every news bulletin, it was about the snow. And that's true, wasn't it? It was so horrible and so difficult and dangerous, and so many people were said, don't travel, don't go, it's too difficult, it's going to be tough, and it's pretty sensible to stay indoors. We had our day away on the Alpha course, moved from Lossiemouth to here, and we had a beautiful day, but we didn't want to risk the road conditions yesterday. But you know that life is a difficult journey. That if you're considering following Jesus, I feel it's important to be honest and upfront with you and say that there's going to be some difficult parts of that journey. It's not going to be plain sailing. It's not as if you take a step of faith to follow Jesus and all your problems disappear. Some of your problems do disappear, but sometimes new problems emerge. Problems of identifying with the God who sent his Son to die on the cross for the world. When you identify your life with his life, you can expect some difficulty. Grit is what I want to speak to you about this morning. We need to grit the roads this week, but we also need to have that grit in our lives if we're going to prevail. I don't know if you've heard of TED Talks. TED Talks are often published online, and there was a TED Talk which had over 5 million views, and it was by Angela Lee Duckworth, because she had made the subject of grit the focus of years of study. She's a psychologist. She defines grit as the ability to persevere in pursuing a future goal over a long period of time and not giving up. It's like having stamina. It's like sticking with your future day in, day out, not just for the week, not just for the month, but for years. Grit is living life like a marathon, not a sprint. Now, you won't find the word grit in the Bible. There are many, many parts of the Bible where there's a call for us to have grit. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you need to take up your cross every day. Jesus said, if you want to gain your life, you need to be prepared to lose your life. That sounds like grit. That sounds quite tough. But in case we misunderstand what this means, it's not like gritting your teeth. The Christian way of being on that difficult journey is actually a very wonderful good news story, which I'm going to share this morning. But probably the most important verse that Jesus shared on this subject is Matthew 7, verse 14, where he said, "The gate is narrow, and the journey is hard. The road that leads to life is hard, and the gate is narrow, and few find it." This is the word of God. This is the word of God. Few find it. What did Jesus mean by that? What Jesus meant by that was that if you choose to follow Jesus Christ, you will find yourself in the minority. You might be in the minority in your family. You might be in the minority in your college class or in your workplace. And one of the reasons why you need grit is because there will be some discouragement from being on that narrow path. Because the gate is narrow, we need to have a laser beam focus so that we don't get distracted in many directions. Because the road is difficult, we need to be realistic about the challenges ahead, and we need to understand the resources that God has given us for that journey. When someone is born again into the Christian faith, let's think of what happens when a new baby is born. You get the visit from the midwife, and then you get the health visitor. You don't just leave the baby to fend for themselves. And when you become a Christian and follow Jesus, the assumption is that you will have lots of support on the journey. And if you're living your Christian life solo, you're living it wrong. There is no such thing as solitary Christianity. Jesus himself needed his disciples. And you need to have that support on the road. But you also need to have grit. I was listening to a lady online. She's now passed away. Her name's Helen Roosevelt. And she served in the Congo as a missionary doctor from 1953 to 1973. And I have to say that what she talked about, I know very little about. So maybe I should sit down now and invite one of you to come up and finish the talk. Because you probably know more about suffering than I do. You may be going through things in your life right now that I can pray for you in, but I've not been there. The good news is that Jesus has been there. Jesus cares for you. He shared in your suffering. He died on the cross for you. And he's with you right now. I know so little about the suffering of following Jesus compared to some great people that I know and some great people that I learn from. But who's to know what's going to happen to me next year, or in 5 years' time, or in 10 years' time? I don't know what God has got planned for me, but I know this, that if I give my all to Jesus, I will suffer. And I need to be ready for that. I need to be prepared for that. And if you give your all to Jesus, you need to be ready for that too. You need to have grit. And so Helen Roosevelt, who was raped while she served the people in Congo, she went through terrible sufferings. She spoke with joy. In her 80s, she was speaking with joy about following Jesus. She said that her hero was a man called Caleb in the Bible, who followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And she was speaking with humor. And she was making people laugh because she had a light spirit, even though she'd had a life of great suffering. Because in her suffering for Jesus, she experienced the fellowship with Jesus and the joy unspeakable flowing from God into our life. You see, if we choose the easy path, we will not have as much difficulty, but we will not have as close a relationship with Jesus, and we will not have as much joy. So do you want to get into heaven on the skin of your teeth? Or do you want to get into heaven, as it were, hitting the tape, running, sprinting, finishing well? That's what I want to do. The reason Helen Roosevelt is inspiring to me is that in 1945, the Lord met with her in a personal way during a student retreat. Graham Scroggie. Does anyone know who Graham Scroggie is? I've heard that name. Some of you have heard that name. Graham Scroggie was a Bible teacher that evening, and he was preaching on Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And as she gave her testimony, Graham Scroggie shared with her from Philippians 3:10. He said, tonight, you've entered into the first part of that verse. I want to know him. This is only the beginning. There's a long journey ahead. My prayer for you is that you will go on through the verse to know the power of his resurrection. And also, God willing, one day perhaps the fellowship of his sufferings. That was her life. She took that verse and she lived it out for all of her life. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. I want to speak about three things: the grit, the gain, and the grace. In terms of the grit, I want to look at that in terms of suffering loss. The Apostle Paul knew a lot about accounting. He had this metaphor of accounting. He talked about the gain and the loss, the credit side and the debit side. And when he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, it completely reversed his sense of values. You see, you can read about it earlier in the chapter, but essentially his pedigree, his background, his intellectual achievements, his reputation, all these things were on the credit side. In fact, he lived such a good life with gritted teeth, seeking to keep God's law, that he felt very proud about it. He even felt that on the day of judgment that he could stand before God and that God would be in his debt because of all that he had done for God. So on that credit side, we had all his achievements and all his privileges. And on the debit side, the only downer in his life was this man called Jesus Christ, who died on a cross and supposedly came back from the dead. And now his followers were spreading this heresy all around the area. And the only negative was this, that Jesus Christ is Lord. That was the only negative in his life. And he committed himself to snuffing out this Jesus movement. And when he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, that which was his loss became his gain. And all his gains became his loss. Because he realized that he had been completely wrong about Jesus. He realized that his religion had created in him a pride which was not helping him at all. This pride was leading him to persecute Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus said to him, Paul, Saul, why do you persecute me? What a powerful thing that Jesus said to him. Why are you persecuting me? Have you ever wondered if you hurt another Christian, you're actually hurting Jesus Christ? It's personal. Jesus said, it's personal, Saul. You're hurting me. Stop it. And he repented. And he came to realize he was wrong. And he put his trust in Jesus. And then Jesus went over to the credit side and everything else went to the debit side. And he says, I count it all loss now for the sake of following Jesus. If anything gets in the way of knowing Jesus and following him wholeheartedly, then it is a millstone around my neck. I want to get rid of it. What does it mean to count all as loss? First of all, counting all as loss means that we must choose between, if we have to choose between Christ and anything else, then Christ must be who we choose. If we're in a relationship with someone and that person is not too hot about Jesus, is actually not that interested in Jesus, or maybe even is a Christian but is a very lukewarm Christian, then that person is going to stop you from following Jesus wholeheartedly. And if you're not married to them, I encourage you not to get married to them. If you're married to them, it's more complicated. But if we have to make a choice between Jesus Christ and anything else, we must choose Christ. Counting all as loss means that we will deal with everything in ways that draw us nearer to Christ. That means if there's so many gifts that God has given us in this life, do we say thank you for all that God gives us? Do we turn that into praise? Do we turn that into thanks? God wants us to enjoy his good gifts. But do we praise the giver of the gifts? Counting all as loss means that we will seek to deal with the things of this world in ways that shows that they are not our treasure, but rather that Christ is our treasure. That means that we hold to things loosely. That's particularly true with material possessions. If we can't release them, there's a problem there. If our material possessions are more important to us than serving Jesus, then we need to do something about that. Counting all as loss means that if we lose any or all of these things that this world can offer, we will make sure that we don't lose our joy, our treasure, our life, because Christ is our joy. Christ is our treasure. Christ is our life. So if that is the grit, that is the loss, what about the gain? What about the gain? We need to have a laser beam focus. A simple magnifying glass. I was given this as a gift about 20 years ago. I was a buyer at Nissan. I think it's gold-plated. And I thought, what a useless gift. What am I ever going to do with that? So 20 years on, I found a use for this corporate gift. A simple magnifying glass can become focused in such a way that it ignites a fire. A laser beam has amazing power, more power than a magnifying glass that can light a fire. It can burn a hole in a diamond. The more intensely focused the light is, the more the power. Laser light differs from regular light in two ways. Regular light goes in every direction at once. So you switch on a light bulb, and the light goes everywhere, doesn't it? But with a laser beam, it's different. Laser light gathers up and focuses it in one direction. The power of intense focus is when a broad spectrum is gathered up and forcefully pushed towards a single point. The Apostle Paul here is saying, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He wants to press on towards that goal of knowing Christ. It's not gritting his teeth. It's not simple effort, although effort is involved. He's responding to the fact that Christ has taken hold of him. Christ has taken hold of him, and he's now seeking to take hold of more of Christ in his life. And the application for us is, are we focused on the goal of knowing Christ? Are we making that our priority to grow in our understanding, in our knowledge of Jesus? How can we do that? Well, we do that in fellowship. There's opportunities for us to learn more from the Bible, to come on an Alpha course, or to just spend more time with other Christians studying the Word and having relationships that linger for a bit longer than just as if we're two billiard balls knocking off each other and not really having an in-depth conversation. When's the last time you had a conversation with someone when they said, how's your relationship with Jesus? How are you growing in the knowledge and grace of God? Is there anything I can do to help you in that? And knowing Jesus is, I was sharing this with the folks yesterday on the Alpha course, and we spent the whole day on it. But Jesus is just so wonderful. He's so gracious. He's so wise. He's so kind. He's so full of purpose for our lives. He says, you are a masterpiece, and I created you, and I've got a great purpose for you. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and to give you a hope and to give you a future. And if you will commit yourself to me, you will not be disappointed. Yes, you will go through difficulties, because to follow me, to follow Jesus, he says, that we have to enter into opposition and persecution in a world that doesn't respect Jesus and doesn't follow him. But 20 years ago, longer than 20 years ago, I can remember weighing up, should I follow Jesus or not follow Jesus? What could I lose? Well, what I could lose is I could live my whole life and be wrong and die. But what about the other option? Is that we live our lives for ourselves, and we die, and then we wake up, and Jesus is standing before us. At that point, the verse will come back to us. I want to know Christ. I wish I had known him more. I wish I had given him more. Because now I see so much clearer. So the grit and the gain and the grace. Paul says here that there is a fellowship available to us when we commit ourselves wholeheartedly to the Lord. There is a power available to us if we commit ourselves wholeheartedly to the Lord. If we live our lives in dependence upon him, we will know his power and we will know his closeness. I think that the opposite is true as well. If we live a lukewarm life where Jesus is just another hobby, or we check in with him once a week and we try and do the minimum, we will not know his power. and we will not know his closeness. Helen Roseware, this is what she said. She said, God never uses a person greatly until he has wounded him deeply. The privilege he offers you is greater than the price you have to pay. The privilege is greater than the price. When the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road was converted and Ananias was unsure about why God wanted to choose Paul, God said to Ananias, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. And the Apostle Paul did go on to suffer much for the name of Jesus. But he is the same one who's now saying, I love it. I wouldn't change it for a minute. I love this life. I love this gain of knowing Christ. And this wounding, I've seen it many, many times. I've seen things happen in my own life where I've said, why has God allowed that to happen? And then I find that God uses that experience to help others in a way that I could never have planned or imagined. And that somehow, because we have been wounded, we are more sensitive to the wounding of others. And that we are like wounded healers. And if we never suffered, we would never be able to be sensitive to the suffering of others. But the suffering that Paul is talking about primarily is the opposition, because he is spreading the good news about Jesus Christ. And if you feel in that minority this morning, if you feel that it's just going to be too difficult, then I want to say that there is power available to you, amazing power and strength available to you. And there is an amazing closeness that is available to you. And you only need to ask. You need to ask God to fill you with his Spirit. And he always answers that question. He always gives us what we need when we go and we ask him. And he particularly comes and draws near us when we are aware of our weakness and when we're hurting, because he is a compassionate and a loving God. I said there was three G's, the grit, the gain, and the grace. But there is a fourth one as well. It's glory. Because after the suffering, there is glory. And Paul is saying here, I want to know Christ, but I want to know him even more. If you're here this morning and you're asking the question, do I know Jesus Christ? Then one of the tests is, do you want to know him more? You could be here this morning saying, I'm not sure if I've known him enough. Have I reached that line? Have I crossed that line? The most important thing is that you have a hunger to know him more. That's a sign of life. That's a sign that the Holy Spirit, that God is working in you. And you should be really encouraged about that. Don't leave this place with a sense of guilt and say, I need to love God more. I need to, you know, all sort of oppressed and feeling guilty. I don't want that. I don't think God wants that. If the prayer of your heart this morning is, I want to know him more, then God hears that prayer. And just say, Lord, fill me with your power. Fill me with your purpose. Fill me with your passion. Because I want to follow you. Shall we do that now? We think of the cost of following you, Lord. We think of the choices in our lives. And Lord, I pray in the silence that you just lay on our hearts anything in our life that is getting in the way. It could be a person. It could be a possession. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray you lay it on our heart now. And I pray that if we have to choose between following Jesus and that thing and that person, I pray that we will choose you. I pray that you will help us to see that when we come to know you, we can be so loving towards others. We can hold our possessions, our hobbies, our work in the right perspective. Help us to put you first as Lord and to put everything else in its proper place. Help us to be willing to let go so that we can make more room for you in our lives. We want to know you better. And we just pray now that the Spirit of would come into our hearts, filling us with wisdom and truth about Jesus. Lord, if we're here this morning and we're not thirsty, would you make us thirsty? If we're not hungry, would you make us hungry? To know the bread of life, to know the water of life, to know the one in whom life exists. And help us to see that the whole of our lives comes under him. I want to pray in particular for anyone this morning that is going through difficulty and suffering, for anyone this morning that just needs your power to keep going and not to give up. Fill them with your power right now. And I want to pray for anyone here this morning that loves you but is really confused as to why they are suffering. Lord, would you draw near to them in such a personal way by your Spirit that they will have no doubt that you are holding them through this time and that you are in control. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to keep our eye on the future, on the return of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the final judgment, upon the eternal separation, and the prospect of heaven, and life eternal, an eternity of knowing you and enjoying you and serving you. Help us not to waste our time, but to give ourselves, sharing all that we have for you, that others may know that you live. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.